Welcome to yet another episode of the 90 Minutes Plus podcast. If you are not a listener, thank you so much for always taking our time to listen to the episodes. And if you're a first timer, welcome to the podcast. It's the 230th edition of the podcast, 6 years and counting. And it's been a privilege for me, I mean, to hold it up this long. I've been reaching out to a couple of folks and asking them to, you know, jump on the podcast as guests. And, you know, I tell them, you know, it's a podcast with over 200 episodes, 6 years strong. And, you know, people just open, they're like, wow, 6 years? Wow, that is a long time. Yep, that is a long time to keep anything alive for, but then again, it is what it is, especially when you're vested in talking to fans from across the globe, where you're invested in not just having an insight into what people are thinking of, especially as football fans, then you just have no other choice but to keep it going. And this is a passion, so I just thought to drop that here. Still your host. You'll find podcast content on Twitter at the 90 Minutes Plus, THE90MINSPLUS. Between the last time we recorded a podcast, an episode of this podcast, and this episode, it's been exactly a month, and in that time, a lot of things have happened. Nigeria is in the final to Cote d'Ivoire. Let me see. Real Madrid, you know, tearing away at the top of the table, even though it's just 6 points. What else? Yeah. I learned a word called, it's a German word, and it's called Schadenfreude. And I read it so, and I went to check the meaning, and the meaning is that pleasure derived by someone from another person's misfortune. And I'm guessing that that word can be used to describe, if not the whole part, then part of what the emotions or part of the emotions that the Bayer Leverkusen fans, manager, players included, must have felt after learning of Bayern Munich's 3-2 loss away at Bochum. And I'm not sure about whether that was the second game in the second loss in a row or third for the Bavarians, but I'm sure Bayer Leverkusen fans must have been looking at themselves, teammates, managers must be saying to themselves, "Wow, this news comes with a bit of that Schadenfreude feeling." Because yeah, Bayern Munich's misfortune, especially in the league, is nothing but good news for a team that can't stop and won't stop in terms of propelling themselves to that German Bundesliga title. And what's not to say about that side, Bayer Leverkusen. Fantastic, solid team. A lot of journalists are already missing out, or should I say, running out of words to describe the team in terms of how they have been. A revelation is the perfect word. Let me say, they've been a revelation this season in terms of how they played, in terms of how they're taking their chances, and of course in terms of how the team's performance on the pitch has propelled Xabi Alonso, the manager, has propelled so far so widely the idea of Xabi Alonso, the manager, that the man is the young manager, let me put it that way, is being connected to so many various jobs, particularly the vacancy that is about, or should I say, the soon to be vacant position of manager at Liverpool Football Club. But then again, it is what it is with football. Speaking of football, Italian football, I think, is probably going through it right now at the moment because Inter is running away with it. So everybody has to settle for second, third, or fourth. Milan's 4-2 loss to Monza over the weekend was probably something that not a lot of people saw coming, But they would say maybe the red card that Milan suffered early in the game, you know, took the sting out of the game for the Milanisti, but it is what it is. And I think they are closer now to Atalanta than they are to Inter Milan at the top of the table. What can we say about Lautaro Martinez and the things he's doing in terms of just shattering numbers, shattering records, and etching his name into the history books of the Nerazzurri? And speaking of Nerazzurri, speaking of Serie A, Napoli is set to become the first title-winning side to change a manager twice after their title-winning season. I'm still... The thing is that most media outlets I read this news from are connecting how, you know, connecting this drama to how De Laurentiis is a major name when it comes to movie making, and how he seems to be making the... how do I put it now? The most controversial, the most lost, twisted, if there's any word like that, you know, movie out of Napoli in the last 18 months. You know how they went on to, you know, set the record and, you know, got their title. And it seemed like everything just fell apart after Luciano Spalletti left. Whose fault? Depends on who you're asking. Some would say Luciano Spalletti for leaving, but some would say De Laurentiis, because he did not meet the demand of Luciano Spalletti and they thought he could do away with the manager, a title winning manager like that. And before you know it, the Neapolitans have moved from Luciano Spalletti to hiring the manager of the Slovakian national team, and they are also bringing on an old boy in Marek Hamšík, who will join. I've forgotten the name of the manager right now. I know he's a Slovakian manager, but the one that stuck to my brain was Marek Hamšík is coming back home. First test for the manager will be Barcelona. Yeah, Barcelona in the UEFA Champions League. Remains to be seen how. Which of the two dysfunctional teams will come out on top? Speaking of dysfunctional, Barcelona might be dysfunctional on the pitch. Barcelona might have needed a 90-something minute winner, I think, over Celta Vigo over the weekend. Lewandowski had to take the penalty twice. But according to news I heard, they've made the most money in terms of jersey sales. My brain cannot... I would usually expect that number to be either Manchester United or Real Madrid at least. Man City did not make the top 10, by the way. And for some very, very interesting reason. Very, very interesting reason. I wish I saved that picture. You know, we have Barcelona there. We have Arsenal there. I think that is understandable. But Barcelona topping that list. I'm making, I think, 400 plus in terms of in the past year now. Jersey sales, and this is according to UEFA financial reporting, so I think it's credible to an extent. That adds a bit of credibility to it. And Spurs, I think Spurs comes in 10th. I mentioned earlier Manchester United, I said Manchester City does not or did not come close to the top 10. Oh, sorry, they did not enter the top 10. I did not see the rest of the list, but the top 10, the citizens did not get into it. And I'm thinking to myself, Barcelona, wow. Not Manchester United, not... I know, yeah, they have a global fan base. I know. I'm just trying to understand the economics of the jump in terms of jersey sales that makes the Catalan giants outrank heavyweights like Real Madrid and Manchester United in terms of jersey sales. Now, this jersey sales definitely... I would also have loved a deeper dive, into where they are being sold off to the most. What nationalities are buying this jerseys the most? In which countries are these jersey sale numbers jumping? Because most of these European clubs now, they are pandering a lot to the international audience beyond their immediate country. They are trying to go into Asia, they are trying to go into the Americas, and they are trying as much as possible to market their products to Africa. So in terms of Africa, Asia, and the Americas, definitely there's a part of me that is thinking, which of these continents contributed the most in terms of the largesse that the Blaugrana have now in their kitty, or should I say have been able to gather into their kitty as a result of jersey sales. What else? Yeah, Chelsea, Manchester City. I watched the game on I don't even know if it was Saturday or Sunday, I can't remember now. But that was last weekend now. And I was thinking to myself that finally, we have proof. I think this season is proof that Haaland is human. Because chances he would have probably finished off last season, he is missing them. He's missed a lot of big chances this season. The Premier League, I think he's the, aside that with Nunes, of course. I'm trying to see, he has the most goals in the league, 16, but he also has the most shots also per game, which is very, very interesting. He and Darwin Nunes, he has 4 shots per game. Darwin Nunes has 3 shots per game, 3.3 shots per game. Salah has 3.2 shots per game. Of those 4 shots per game, Haaland has 1.9 on target per game. It's literally Haaland Salah Nunes in terms of total shots per game and also shots on targets per game. But the interesting part, oh well, they're tied actually, is the big chances missed. Haaland has missed 21. Darwin Nunes has also missed 21. Maybe we can attribute it to their age. Haaland is 23, Nunes is 24. Okay, maybe someone will come want to counter argue and say, look, Saka is not even up to this age and Saka is doing stuff in terms of not necessarily missing big chances. I'm trying to see, Saka is 10th. He has missed just 9 big chances this season. And in terms of goals, scored this season, I think Saka is on 12th. Saka is on 12 goals in the Premier League this season. That's 4 shy of Erling Haaland's 16 and 3 shy of Mohamed Salah's 15. And so maybe the age thing doesn't count. So if the age thing is thrown out of the window because Saka is literally doing a lot as compared to Mohamed Salah, Erling Haaland and Darwin Nunes, what other reason can you have for these two big names, Darwin Nunes and Erling Haaland, to be missing a lot of chances like this? Because, yes, stats are like bikini, they don't show you the big picture, but then stats are very important in terms of trends, in terms of what is happening, what could happen, and you know why it is happening. Haaland and Darwin Nunes missing 21 big chances. That's 21 goals that could have been scored or not, as the case may be, but these are big chances missed. The question now is it their age? But seeing what Haaland did last season, it goes out of the window. So is it about the league getting tougher at their opponents? Haaland's opposition defenders, have they watched more clips of Haaland? Are they more familiar with the style of play now? And are they more equipped to better deal with him than they were last season, when he just seemed to just blitz his way past everything and anything in front of him and went on to set the record? Or is it a case of, you know, Haaland having to become more, become more part of the team, where he has to do more team play and then they have more scorers than they would usually do last season? But I don't think so, because it's still the same crop of players. Doku is scoring, Grealish is scoring, Alvarez is scoring, Bernardo Silva is scoring, Foden is scoring, Rodri is scoring, Kevin De Bruyne is scoring. who else is scoring? Haaland is scoring, which was the same thing last season. So that doesn't hold water. So boiling it down, it goes down to, is it Haaland dipping in form because of the injury he suffered? Remember, we have to put that into context also. I think he missed 2 months of Premier League play, 2 months or a month, not sure now. Is it that, or is it that defenders are now better equipped to deal with Haaland's movements, Haaland's reaction, Haaland's style of play in the Premier League, because they are now better familiar, or they are now more familiar with how he operates, as opposed to his style of play last season? This is where we round it up. We'll draw the curtain on this episode, the 230th special episode. I don't know, is this golden wrist power four and some jubilee? Anyway, thank you so much. If you have been listening to this episode, to this podcast for like a year or two, thank you so much. Don't forget to leave a rating wherever you get your podcast episodes, particularly Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Yes, please leave a review, leave a 5-star rating, and most importantly, do the the ultimate business of preaching the gospel of this podcast, letting a friend know that, look, you need to listen to what's going on the 90 Minutes Plus podcast. All right, till we come your way in the next episode of the podcast. Stay safe, make the most use of your time. The weathers are changing like never before, so wherever you are, I hope you keep safe. Like I said earlier, I'll say it again, make the most use of your time, because life is incredibly long. Yep, so we've been told, but life is also incredibly short. We'll catch you in the next episode of the podcast. Coming up soon in March, we'll be bringing a sports lawyer who will be taking us through the nitty-gritty of what it is like to be in the world of making policies around sports. I think that's what they do in sports law. I'm still making my research also. I've gotten in touch with her, and we'll definitely be talking sports law in March. You don't want to miss out on that episode. All right, stay safe, gents and ladies. We'll talk, or we will catch up later in other episodes. Cheers.